Thank you and good morning to you in Radio Land and again here in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Brother Gale, or as they call me, Pastor Gale, speaking to you and asking you to stay tuned for this 11 o'clock hour that we praise the Lord that we're able to bring it to you over the radio. Our Father, this morning, we do thank you for this past hour, how thou hast been with us. Thy mercies, thy goodness has followed us all the days of our life this morning hour. We thank you that we can come to you, commune with thee from above the mercy seat. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thy name is exalted, honored, and glorified here. And may it always be so. Our Father, we thank thee for thy message this morning that thou hast laid upon our hearts. Guide us and keep us and give us strength and power to deliver it as thou hast in the past. Bless thy word. Bless this people, all the waiting audience out there in Radio Land. And may thy name be honored and glorified. Bless those that are sick, those who cannot be with us in person here this morning, who are home listening to the radio. Bless our enemies this morning. We believe they are listening too. And may Heavenly Father, the hour of conviction go home to their hearts, to where that they will see their utter corruption, their utter rebellion. Oh Lord Jesus, that the grace of God would reach down into their hearts and bring them forth in repentance and faith in our blessed Lord. Guide us and keep us this morning and throughout this day. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now let us turn to number 255 and sing, He Hideth My Soul. Praise the Lord for that hiding place. He hideth my soul. And let's sing it out. Thank you. I praise the Lord for that song. Yes, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. He covers me there with His hand. I praise Him for that hiding place this morning. Do you have a hiding place? Now let's sing another song. All right, 501. That will be glory for me. Let's stand as we sing it. Come on, everybody sing it. Come on. Come on, let me watch. That will be glory for me. For the past few couple of Sundays, we've been talking to you, bringing God's message from 2 Peter. No, it's 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. About casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, as that 7th verse tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, people have different views about what the devil looks like, who he is, but he is, excuse me, he is the believer's adversary, not the unbeliever. He is the believer's adversary. He's the one that we have to contend with day and night. He never lets us alone. He's our adversary, the devil. Like a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And but for the grace of God, he would devour us if it was possible. But our sufficiency is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our covert, like we expressed it last Sunday, but he still walketh about, and he's walking about in here, You cannot see him. He's a spirit. Lives in the spirit world. Now, a lot of people may make a lot of fun out of that, but I tell you one thing, if you ever come under conviction for salvation, you're going to realize that the devil is real. He is real. And he's not what a lot of people picture him to be. He's a gentleman. And he has many, many ways of coming to you or coming before you. He says, his devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Now, if you don't have faith, if you don't have God's faith, the faith of God's elect, you cannot resist Satan. Which means that you are already under the influence of Satan. Anyone who is not saved is already under the influence of Satan. He's in Satan's family. He's held there by Satan unless the Lord God of glory delivers you by his power and by his blood. You cannot come out of that family voluntarily. And that's why a lot of people are resting on professions today, thinking that they came out of it, but they know nothing about the power of God, nor the grace of God, nor the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, that's under the attacks of Satan, after you have suffered a while, and the Lord seemingly has turned Satan on you, it may be for short periods, long periods, until you have become perfect, established, strengthened, and he settles you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now that's what we spoke about last week along that line, your adversary, the devil. Now to this morning, if you will turn to us to the 6th chapter of Ephesians, that's where we're going to have our message, in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. And how are you and I going to resist the devil? What has God provided the believer with to resist the devil? And let's read in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, in that first verse. Let's begin with it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now he's talking about here, about spirit-filled believers, children of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, both the children and servants. And you may say, the child may say, well, I'm not saved, but you are under this Christian unity here, this church, and you are receiving the impressions here, and you're learning the way of the Lord. And there's no better way for a child to be saved than first learn of his relationship or her relationship unto the Lord. And you are in the place here where you can. And may God teach you. And may there be a willingness on your part to learn. And it's to the parents to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them. Read to them. Instruct them. And then it goes on the fifth verse. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You see, it's all doing as unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents and do it as unto the Lord. And I tell you what, if you do that, it will be pleasing to your parents too. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and neither is there respect of persons with him. But now, look at the 10th verse. After you've done all that, in conclusion, after you receive those instructions, adhere to them with a willing mind, a willing heart to know them, to learn them. After these instructions here, here's the Apostle Paul dealing with a problem here. Warnings, because he had contest with Satan himself. And every spirit-filled believer, every individual walking with the Lord, is going to be contested by Satan. Now, are you walking with the Lord? Do you know him? Do you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Then you will be contested by Satan. He is not going to let you alone. He has certain reasons why. Many reasons. I know in my early Christian life, it seemed like all of hell was turned loose on me. Temptations were all around. They presented themselves. And I couldn't give too much of a testimony. There were times where I didn't know whether I was saved or lost, going through terrific battles. I was not established. I was not settled. I was being tossed seemingly to and fro by Satan, not realizing the Lord had done this thing, permitted it, that I may learn some things about Satan, and that I'm able to pass it on to others who are struggling and who are battling with different situations. And here's the Apostle Paul here, but I'll tell you something else. There did come a time in my life to where I became more sure. I became just a little bit more steadfast, just a little bit more watchful, just a little bit more aware of the adversary, the devil that I had to contend with. I thought that was over with after God saved me. But I had to realize that it wasn't. And I was thrown upon the shores of trials and testings. I don't know the purpose of it all, except the Apostle Paul said that you may be established, you may be settled, you may be grounded, firm. And that's the reasons for it. Everything of life itself, it's aimed seemingly at the believer. It has a purpose in it. God has ordained it so. But look down here at this 10th verse. Let's go on from here. And that's the reason why the believer can can, he knows whom he has believed. He knows whom he has believed. He is persuaded, confident. Oh, there was a cry in my heart one day, Lord, give me more faith. Give me more confidence, more trust in thee, more grace, more wisdom. I didn't know what I was asking for at the time. I didn't know what the consequences of it all would be. I didn't know what the Lord was going to do to me to teach it to me. And that which he would have come upon me to instruct me. But now I know. God has settled me to where I know whom I have believed. I know the grace of God is sufficient to save the chiefest of sinners, the most low-down and rotten sinners. I know the grace of God is able to reach down into the pit of hell and deliver a sinner. I know that. I'm confident of it. And that's why we preach it. That's why we teach it. That's why we trust the grace of God. That's why we trust that the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. And the gospel is able to contest every attack of Satan, of our adversary, everything that Satan can hurl at us. The gospel is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient. I know it is. I'm confident and I'm persuaded. And here was the Apostle Paul is urging upon his listeners here. Finally, my brethren, now look at it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might. Now why? Now look at that 11th verse. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor. In other words, we're not supposed to leave one piece off. Because it's that piece that we let off that Satan will get his fiery darts, his arrows in. The whole armor. And every piece has a special place. Now why? Now why, believer? We're in a battle. You and I are in a battle. And I'm more aware of it now than I ever have been since God's put me here. We're in a battle. You are in a battle. You're struggling hard for your soul to get to Christ. You're in a battle. It's not easy. It's not going to be easy. Because awakened sinner, if you're under conviction, God, Satan's going to contest every step of the way until you get to Christ. And after you get to Christ, it's going to be that much fiercer, I believe, until you become grounded, you become settled, your mind is settled, your heart is settled, and you find that Satan is not attacking you so much on some things, but he will try other things. As far as your salvation is concerned, he gave up on that of me a long time ago. But he'll try to get you many other ways. And that's the reason why we've got to know what this armor here consists of. God's given it to us in salvation, and he wants us to wear it. We wear it night and day. It's not taking like our clothes off at night and going to bed. This is something we have to be aware of night and day. Because we don't know which way or how the enemy will strike us. And they've been striking lately. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but listen, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Having done all to stand. And how are you going to stand? Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that in this day I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, we're not going to get through this morning with this message. In this sixth chapter of Ephesians, we find that from verses 10 through 17, we can readily see here that the Christian conflict is not only real, now you listen, but it is difficult and dangerous. How many of you have read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? Have you read that? All right. I would ask you to go and read it again. And find out the struggles from the time that Pilgrim fled from destruction, the city of destruction, until he reached the pearly gates. The struggles, the heartaches, the downfalls, the conflict. The journey was very difficult, and it was danger all along the way. And you remember one time he laid down his parchment, he went to sleep, he laid it down, got up the next morning, left it, he was lost. It made it that much more difficult and dangerous to him. But when he found it again, everything was better. Yes, it is one in which true believers are often grievously wounded, and multitudes of believers succumb under the attacks of this powerful enemy. And who is he? Satan. And that's the reason why we've got to be careful. We've got to be watchful. And like down the bottom it says, praying always with all supplications of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're on your job, in the office, in your home, over your sink, washing your dishes. You can, by the grace of God, you can wear this clothing, this armor, as a believer, constantly looking unto the Lord, constantly watchful against Satan's attacks. We don't know how he's going to come. Some have come this week. But the Lord gave me grace and wisdom how to face some situations, to see what's going on. Now, we know what's going on in our midst, outside. We know that. We are aware of it. The Lord has opened our eyes to it. But the thing about it is to be protected. It's to wear that protection, the armor that God has given us. Now let's go on. We cannot rely on our own strength. Now, you just might as well make up your mind right there as a believer, or you as an awakened sinner, you cannot rely on your own strength to defend you against Satan. You cannot. And upon our own resources of nature for success, cannot. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not natural. His nature doesn't give us this, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you'll find that in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 4th and 5th verses. The Apostle Paul warns his readers not to lean on the arm of flesh. Our source of strength is not to be found in nature. We belong to a spiritual family, and therefore our weapons of warfare are spiritual. We belong to a different family. We are a different people. We are God's people. And God deals in the spiritual realm. He does. Our warfares are spiritual. Now you listen. Don't let Satan let you go to sleep now. That's one of the devices he uses that you don't hear. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In other words, let us muster strength for the inevitable conflict, and to seek that strength from the right source. Now, we have the Word of God here. The right source. In other words, we cannot depend upon the flesh. I could not fight the enemy in the flesh. I cannot. Be strong in the Lord. Now, how can we be strong in the Lord? All right. Let's turn to John, the 15th chapter. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, listen now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide now. Now, how are you going to be strong in the Lord? I'm talking about something here that's realistic, that has to do with everyone who names the name of Christ. Everyone that's saved. Now, like someone came to me a little while ago and asked me, suppose if others come to me and they tell me about God's Word, they tell me about this, they preach this, they tell me this, and they used to come here, they used to preach here, what am I supposed to do? I said, don't hear them. They used to preach here. They used to teach here. Don't hear them. Turn away from them. Turn away from them. Don't listen to them. Now, we're dealing with a problem. It's not a great problem, I mean, as far as the Lord is concerned, and it's only that He can work it out, and we're trusting Him to do it. But we're dealing with problems now, and that's what I want to speak to you after this service is over with. That's why I want you to linger with us and bear with us, because we are in this battle. But As God gives us grace, we're going to contest Satan on every hand, and all those who will try to hurt this ministry, hurt you, and draw you away to make disciples of you. Now listen to this here, this fourth verse. Abide in me, and I in you. Now this is the abiding place of the believer. Abide in Christ, and Christ in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now where's your strength? Where's your strength? Where's your abiding place? In Christ. Abide in him. Abide in me, and I in you. All right? He goes in that fifth verse, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Now, how are you going to overcome Satan? How are you going to be able to contest his moves? How are you going to gain knowledge and wisdom? All right. It's by abiding in Christ. Realizing that he is your all sufficiency. And you cannot do anything in a part of him. You see your helplessness and your hopelessness in yourself as God's child, and rely only in the strength, in the power, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that abiding place. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot abide in itself. You cut that branch off that tree, it's gonna wither, it's gonna die, that branch. And if you lean on the arm of flesh, you're going to go down. You're going to fail. Oh, Satan's got the best of you. He's going to harass you. Now listen, if a man, now that fifth verse, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But listen this, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So it's that abiding in Christ, as a branch separated from the vine, or as a limb severed from the body, so is a Christian separated from Christ. That's right. Now you listen. In order to be strong in the Lord, we must walk as a new man in Christ. As a new man in Christ. Now, I don't have time to read these scriptures. Well, let's turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, again, back there. The fourth chapter. Seventeenth verse. It'll do us good to read this. Now, listen. In order to be strong in the Lord, we must walk as a new man in Christ. Now listen to what it says there. This I say therefore in the 17th verse of the 4th chapter of Ephesians, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But listen to this. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, now listen to this, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, lest let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that ye may have to give to him that needeth, and let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, and that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It is only as members of Christ's body that we have either life or power. It is not we that live, but Christ that liveth in us. That's right. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Not I, but Christ. It is not we that live, but Christ that liveth in us. And the strength which we have is not our own, but is His. There was a time when we had no strength. In due time, Christ died for us. But the Lord Jesus gave us strength to believe, grace to receive. When we are weak, then we are strong. When we are empty of self, then we are filled with God. That's the way you resist the devil. That's the way we overcome, is living that everyday life in Christ, who is our hope of glory, who is our abiding place, who is our life, our strength. Day by day as we wake up, we see we have no strength, even for the day. We have no strength then to believe. Then no strength. We recognize our helplessness and hopelessness in a part of the Lord. We don't know the struggles of the day. We don't know the temptations of the day. We don't know about Satan's attacks, which way is going to come. We might get up feeling good one morning and delighted and praising the Lord, rejoicing, thanking Him for everything. And then all of a sudden, Satan will come out of nowhere. And there he'll get you. If he can, he'll subdue you. Then you're able to cast yourself upon the Lord. He's my strength. He's my delight. He's my hope. He's my power. How you resist the devil? Turn him over to the Lord. The Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. How do you resist your enemies? The Lord rebuke thee. You know my prayer has been, Lord, stop the mouths of the wicked men. He said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask anything and I'll do it for you. The Lord is going to stop their mouths one day. The Lord is going to stop some of your mouths here this morning. I'm praying for that. I am just as confident He's going to do it. You'll either turn to Christ with your mouth shut, become guilty before God, or you'll go away in a rage and blaming everything upon this assembly, upon this pastor, for being true to you. We've got people in here with tongues about that long. They don't know how to keep it still. They have to get on the phone. They've got to slander. They've got to criticize. They've got to tell people what to do, how to do it, and what ought to be done. this tongue's that long. And they make their hell a home, their home a hell. Put on the whole armor of God that you may withstand the wiles of Satan. Put on righteousness. Put on that armor. And defy every imp of hell to come at you. The Lord rebuke thee. I've got the righteousness of God in Christ. The Lord rebuke thee. I've got the blood that covers all my sins. The Lord rebuke thee. I have the grace of God. The Lord rebuke thee. Christ within that lives, who is my strength, my hope. I don't have to go around looking to see what people are doing. After a while, they come out and they show themselves. The Lord rebuke thee. The Lord stop your mouth. Put on the whole armor of God. The believer has not only to defend himself, but also to attack his spiritual enemies. And brother, we've got something to attack him with. The word of God is a sword. The word of God is fire. It burns. The word of God is like a hammer. It breaks. Brother, I'm praying that God will break rebellion in hearts. Break pride. Break prejudice. He's able to do it. The word of God is able. Out, you out there in radio land, oh, if the rebellion would be broken in your heart, and you came to know Christ, you'll never quit rejoicing. Praising the Lord. He broke that rebellious spirit in my heart. The rebellion against the gospel. The rebellion against this ministry. The rebellion against our late pastor. The rebellion that you've been... Satan has you so eaten up with it until you can't see truth. You don't know what truth is. Though you may preach it, you still don't know what it is. This is to be done only by the means that God has provided, and that is by the armor of God. He gives us this armor. The strength which we need is not from ourselves, but is from God. And in Ephesians 3:16, the Apostle Paul's prayer was that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. We are not to substitute carnal wisdom for the armor of God, such as seclusion from the world, ritual observances, starvation, on a poverty program. We've got people that are afraid. They're afraid to resist Satan. They don't know how to resist him. And we've got people who think they can get away from Satan and from the world, and they have to go out and hide in caves, not realizing they have to live with themselves. You know, after the Lord saves us, he doesn't put us in a corner somewhere. He don't hide us someplace. But brother, he put you out there in life. And you have every imp of hell and every devil and every adversary and everybody else to hurl themselves at you. But he's making somebody. He's making you and I. 20 years the Lord has been grounding on his old stump here. But I praise the Lord for it. We are not to substitute carnal wisdom for the armor of God. And if you read Colossians 2:18 through 23, you'll see where that these observances and seclusion from the world and everything else, and days and holidays, and the apostle condemns them. That's not the way to defend against Satan. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If our adversary was a man, we might defend ourselves by human means. That's true. And even then, I'd be so helpless, I wouldn't know how to defend myself. But it is Satan we have to contend with, therefore we need the armor of God. Now next week, we'll speak a little bit about that armor. Now we have about a minute left. So we'll stop right there. And next Sunday, the Lord willing, we'll continue it. About that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And you'll find that on that 11th verse. We'll take it up next week, the Lord willing. Now, we're glad you were with us in Radio Land. And we pray the Lord will bless this message to your heart. Let us hear from you. And we need you to help us in the support of this broadcast. Write us and let us know that you're behind us and with us and praying for us. And may God's blessings rest upon you. Goodbye until next week.